Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, and Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity for us to come together to praise and to worship you. Lord, we thank you for this community of believers that we get to come together and encourage each other, to strengthen each other, and prepare us to go out into the world for the rest of the week. Father, we thank you for our offerings. May it be something that is used for your glory and not our own. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand. We live for you, Jesus the name.
scriptures tell us in the end of Matthew, as Jesus was preparing to ascend to heaven, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you, and remember I am with you always to the end of age." That's my passion. That's the calling of the church, is to go out and reach others for Jesus, to be those hands and feet, to be a light inside of our community. And what I love is at the very ending, he says, "And I am with you always to the end of age." He's not saying there's a time limit or anything like that. And that's why we pray for those that don't know Jesus. That's why we set aside time every Sunday morning to pray and lift them up by name, because we're not alone in this process. We all know people that don't know Jesus. We all know people that are walking around in this world with no hope, no joy, no peace. They may have momentary moments where they experience it, but it's not this fulfilling within their life that Christ gives us. And that's why we're called to pray for them and lift them up and to share Jesus with each and every one of them. So in the My Three time, I want you guys to think of those three people in your life that don't know Jesus. And I want you to lift them up by name as we take this time to pray. But don't just do it today. Do it every day throughout the week. So let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you right now. And Lord, we just lift up all of our friends and family and coworkers and more, Lord, that don't know you, that are walking this world without the knowledge of Christ. Lord, may you soften their hearts. May you prepare their minds for the hope that is found in your Son, Jesus. Lord, may they come into relationship with you. Lord, may we know when to speak and may we know when to hold our tongue. Father, that it's not just lip service, but it's a transformation of their life. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're going to introduce a new song to you this morning. Hopefully, you've been looking in the bulletin. There's a list of new songs that are in the bulletin. Hopefully, you're having some chances to listen to. It's good to listen to worship music during the week. I know when you're feeling down, when you're feeling blue, it's always good to listen to some worship music, right? Yeah. Place to hide the spirit's soul. before we do this next part, I want you guys to know, and I'm not here to do a sermon right now. That's Tim's job this morning. But as we sing the phrase, hell lost another one. Yes, we say hell lost another one because as sinners, hell is our default. But we have to make a choice to whether we are going to go to heaven or not. We have to say, I mean, if Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father except through me, then if you made that choice, then hell did lose another one. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
Then there's another phrase that we're going to be singing called, get up, get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Because if, again, if we are followers of Christ, we are alive, we will have eternal life. So the grave cannot hold us. So yes, our earthly body may go in the grave, but our soul is in heaven. So as we sing these words, it's good to proclaim it in your life this morning.
Get up.
Amen. You may be seated. Well, good morning, church. Looks like we all survived the heat wave this last week. That was some hot days. Really look forward to seeing that electric bill for the AC on that one. I want to welcome everybody here this morning. I also want to welcome those that are joining us online and the radio. We are thankful for each and every one of you. I also want to welcome our guests that are here with us right now. We're thankful for you. But before we get going this morning, let us go to the Lord in prayer. So let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you right now, and Lord, you know where we each are at. You know where our hearts are. You know where our minds are. Father, you know the questions that we have in our minds. Lord, I ask that you speak to us this morning, that you allow the Holy Spirit to do his work in each of us. Father, I pray that we soften our hardened hearts, that we hear your words, and that we grow in you. Lord, I pray that this morning it is your words that are spoken and not my own. Father, if I say anything that is not of you, may it fall on deaf ears. Father, we pray all this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You know, last week we saw how God can provide for us, how he takes care of us and makes a way where we see no other way. And I really hope that you each took some time this week to look back on your life, to think through all the times that God has provided and shown up and taken care of you in even the most unexpected ways. And I don't just mean in the big things either. I'm not just talking about when he provided a job or took care of your housing, food, and so forth. But even in the little things, I hope you're able to see how God has worked through all of those situations. Because sometimes we can become hard-headed people. That may be a shocker to some of you. But we seem to forget how God has provided in our past. And then when we saw in the, and that's what we saw in the text last week. The disciples had overlooked all the ways that Jesus had provided in the past for them. You know, last week we saw Jesus again with a large crowd around him that had been following him for 3 days at this point, and they had ran out of food, and Jesus was getting ready to dismiss them, and he wanted to feed them once again. And the disciples, being the disciples and being human like we are, completely overlooked what Jesus had done in the past and started questioning him, how are we going to do this? How are we going to feed all these people? Even after they had seen Jesus feed 5,000 with just a couple of pieces of bread and a couple of pieces of fish. But instead of remembering how God had provided in the past, they immediately went into how the world is doing and how the world is going to be able to provide, forgetting that God is the one. And we can be so quick to criticize the disciples. But the truth is, we often do that ourselves. We forget how God provides for us. And when we come across new situations, we find ourselves trusting ourselves over God, forgetting that he's helped us before. And he's going to help us again. So I hope you've taken that time to look back. You know, even for me, when I say small things, a while back I couldn't find my keys. I could almost guarantee I checked my pockets. But sure enough, that's where they were after I said a prayer. This week in the Life of Christ series, we're going to be changing directions a little bit. Instead of Jesus speaking to a large crowd, we actually find him interacting with his disciples and some Pharisees. It's just a small setting. We'll be over in Mark chapter 8 this morning, just where we were last week, and we're going to pick up where we left last week. We're going to be in verse 11 through 21 for anyone that wants to follow along. At the end of the passage, we saw Jesus and his disciples getting into a boat, and they went to the district of Dalmanutha. And that's where we're going to pick up. So in verse 11, it states, "The Pharisees came and began to argue with him, demanding of him a sign from heaven to test him." They don't give up, do they? If you recall from previous interactions that Jesus has had with the Pharisees, they love to try and trap Jesus. I mean, it's to the point that they keep constantly sending out political and religious leaders, almost as hitmen, to try to trap Jesus in his answers, to try to throw him off. The last time they tried to do that, they got into a conversation with Jesus on the issue of the law and being ceremonially unclean. And by the time the conversation was over, Jesus had clearly won, and he called the Pharisees a bunch of hypocrites. And as you can imagine, this did not go over well with the Pharisees. They had a problem with Jesus saying that. But they weren't ready to give up on their attempts to discredit Jesus. So when Jesus got to the region of Dalmanutha, the Pharisees wasted no time coming to him and arguing with him, and they were demanding a sign from heaven from him. They wanted to test Jesus. Now, having a sign from heaven is not an unheard of thing for a prophet to do. In the Old Testament, there were often signs that accompanied a prophet. It showed their trustworthiness. It authenticated their power and authority as a prophet. Yet at this point in Jesus' ministry, he had already done so much. I mean, Jesus had healed the blind. He restored the hearing of deaf people. People with leprosy were healed. Demons were cast out. A young girl was raised from the dead. People were healed of all types of ailment. Jesus fed a group of 5,000 and a group of 4,000 with just a couple of loaves of bread and a couple pieces of fish. He taught the scriptures in a way that astonished people because nobody had ever spoken with such authority before. Jesus had done all these amazing things that in any other time would have been more than enough, but the Pharisees were not having any of it. He did more than any human could have done. But none of that was ever going to be enough for the Pharisees. They were trying to find a sign. They weren't trying to find a sign. They had all the signs they needed. They were just looking for a reason to justify their hatred of Jesus. Because they also understood that if they actually listened to what Jesus was saying, if they actually followed through what the Messiah was asking of them, their lives would have to change. They couldn't continue down the path that they'd always been going if they would have gone with what Jesus was telling them. And they weren't ready to give up their lifestyle. They weren't ready to give up their control, their power, and everything they had in their world. And so they tried to discredit Jesus. They tried to justify their hatred of him. And you know what? We find people like that today. We've all met people that have had questions about our faith. They want to know and understand what we believe and why we believe it. And many of the people that comment and come and ask these questions have genuine questions. And they want to understand, why do we worship the God that we worship, the one true God? The one, the creator of the universe, the beginning and the end. They want to learn about what he's done and done for them. But just as we run into people like that, we run into many people who like to ask questions and make comments. And what they're looking for is they're looking for that gotcha moment. That moment that they believe if they can just have that little sliver, they can throw it all off. That now they don't have to hear about what Jesus said. You see, it doesn't matter what we present to them. It doesn't matter what the Holy Spirit stirs inside of them. It doesn't matter the evidence for or about God. It's never going to be enough for those people because they chose not to believe. They don't want to believe. They understand that if they say yes to Jesus, the moment they allow him to come into their life and transform them, their lives will change. It'll never be the same again. The way that they look at the world is going to change. Their desires will change. And they don't actually want that. They would rather stay in their unbelief than be transformed from the inside out. So they try everything they can to try and discredit our faith to justify their own reason for unbelief. And when we come across someone like that, we're called to pray for them. To lift them up to Jesus, that he may soften their heart. We're called to pray for wisdom in those moments to know how to speak and when to speak. To know when to be silent and when to engage. And when the Pharisees came to Jesus underneath that mindset, demanding a sign, it tells us in verses 12 and 13 on how Jesus responded. He said, sighing deeply in his spirit, he said, why does this generation demand a sign? Truly, I tell you, no sign will be given to this generation. Then he left them, got back into the boat, and went to the other side. What Jesus is getting out here is inside of this moment is that this generation of religious leaders had already seen all the miracles. They had heard the incredible and life-changing teachings of Jesus, yet they were choosing to reject him. He understood that no matter what else he would do, what miracles he would perform, none of that would ever be enough for them. They had already made up their minds that they were going to reject Jesus because they saw the cost of following him and they counted it as too high. And if we look through Jesus' teaching and everything, we see that Jesus did not come from heaven to earth to perform a bunch of miracles and to convince people to follow him. That's not why he came. No, he came to make a way where there's no other way. He came to invite people into a relationship with him, to see him in that way. And after Jesus was done with this interaction with the Pharisees, Jesus and his disciples got into the boat again and they headed off. And while they were in the boat, Jesus warned the disciples about false teachers and leaders. He says in verse 14, the disciples had forgotten to take bread and had only one loaf with them in their boat. You see, when they got into the boat and the disciples realized that they had brought all but one loaf of bread, which was not enough to feed 13 of them in their travels. So when they told Jesus about this, he used this as an opportunity to teach the disciples. He often does that in our lives. When we come across different situations, God can teach us in those moments. And they says in verse 15, he said, then he gave them strict orders, watch out, be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. For those who are not aware, leaven can also be referred to as yeast. In fact, some translations will make that distinction. And once it's been added to the dough, it causes it to rise, and it doesn't take very much, does it, to cause the bread to rise and to have its effect. And it's one of those things that once it's in the dough, you can't remove it. It is there. And in this passage, leaven is being used to symbolize evil. So Jesus is warning them to watch out for the evil of the Pharisees and the evil of Herod. He's saying, watch out for the evil teaching and the hypocrisy of the religious leaders, to watch out for the evil and hypocrisy of the political leaders. Because when we allow evil teachings to infiltrate our society, it contaminates everything. It only takes a small amount to make a large impact in the world. When we start saying yes to things that we know go against the word of God, it causes trouble in our life. And this is why we're called to watch out for false teachers and leaders who call good evil and evil good. You know, we live in a time such as that today where there's so much disinformation that's constantly thrown at us, where half-truths are shared and where lies are twisted as truths. We have teachers and religious leaders who no longer call sin, sin. We have teachers and religious leaders who no longer stand for the truth of the gospel. We have teachers and religious leaders that are leading people straight to the pits of hell because they're unwilling to preach the fullness of the gospel out of fear of offending someone. Forgetting that the Bible teaches that the gospel is offensive to those who won't believe. Just as Jesus' teaching when he was there with the Pharisees, they were offended by the things that Jesus was saying because it cut against what they wanted. It cut against their desires. Instead, what we find is we find a bunch of people concerned with the tickling of the ears. They're more concerned what the world around them thinks of them than what God thinks of them. They're only teaching what people want to hear and not what they need to hear. You know, this idea of a repentance is something that's been thrown to the side. Instead, we're being taught that as long as you say a prayer, you can continue living life like you've always done it. That there is no transformation required. And people wonder why their lives aren't being transformed. People wonder why they're still feeling lost after they've said one prayer. They've read the Bible a little bit. They've said a prayer, and yet their lives are falling apart, and they don't understand why. But they're still living the exact same life they've always lived. Nothing has changed in the way that they move. It's because we haven't taught people that we need to repent as well. It's one thing to acknowledge Jesus. It's another to repent and say, look, I'm a sinner, Lord. I need help. And I want to change my ways. We are never taught anymore that we need to turn from our own ways of living and turn to Jesus. That he's the one who's going to give us a new heart and a new mind. That he's going to transform us from the inside out. That it's not just about having that moment. It's not just about acknowledging, but it's allowing Jesus to become Lord of our lives. Allowing him to work from the inside out. Allowing him to be the one that guides our lives. It's about him giving our lives to him, not just part of it, but all of it. And that's a hard one so often. We all have things that, yes, we want Jesus, we want what he offers, but this idea of giving our whole lives to him finds us in a struggling moment. Because if we give everything, it means that we're gonna have to face reality about stuff. We always have those little areas like, Jesus, you can have this, this, and this, but this stays mine. And that's not what Jesus says. He wants all of you. You know, Paul writes, it's no longer I that lives, but he who lives in me. That it's no longer about our lives, but about Christ. That we're called to go to Jesus, repent of our old way of life, and allow him to make us new from the inside out. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's not always going to be easy. It requires some hard choices. Jesus never promised us easy. In fact, he said to pick up our cross daily and follow him. That's not an easy choice that we have to make. He reminds us that we're going to be persecuted for the sake of the gospel, that we may lose friends and family over it. And I know these are not easy and popular things to hear. But we're reminded in the scriptures that these are things that can happen to us. But here's the other thing. The Bible also promises that if we go to Jesus, that if we go to him, that we're going to experience a joy unlike anything else that we've ever had before. That if we go to Jesus, we will find peace that surpasses all of our understandings. That if we go to Jesus, he gives hope to the hopeless. And we will find meaning for our lives. And that Jesus will give us eternal life. That if we go to Jesus, we will find a new family, a new identity, one that is grounded in Christ Jesus our Lord. And these are promises that we can hold on to. And sometimes when we hear this message, especially if it's our first time, hearing the fact that we're called to repent of our old way of living and go to Jesus and allow him to transform us from the inside out, it can leave us perplexed and wondering, what are we supposed to do? The disciples had moments like that throughout their time with Jesus. And in this moment, when Jesus was speaking to them about the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod, and they were concerned on what was going on, they didn't grasp what Jesus was saying initially, to the point in verse 16, they said, they were discussing among themselves that they did not have any bread. They didn't understand what Jesus was saying inside of this moment right away. Instead, what they did is they started talking about how they had no bread, and they wondered where the danger was in that. They allowed their current need to distract them from what Jesus had for them. They allowed something from the world to keep them from seeing what Jesus was saying inside of that moment, just as we often allow the distractions of the world to keep us from saying fully yes to Jesus. Jesus responds in verse 17 and 18, and he says, aware of this, he said to them, why are you discussing the fact you have no bread? Don't you understand or comprehend? Do you have a hardened heart? Do you have eyes and not see? Do you have ears and not hear? And do you not remember? You see, the disciples were focused on the physical bread, and that was irrelevant to what Jesus was saying at that moment. Why were they worried about one loaf of bread when Jesus had provided everything already before? Yet Jesus was speaking of spiritual things, and the disciples were thinking of physical things. When Jesus asked them whether or not they had hardened hearts, he was not talking about a rebellious or stubborn heart that the Pharisees had. He was not referring to the same kind of heart. See, the Pharisees were unwilling. They were being willfully rebellious against Jesus. That's why they came and tried to test him. What he was talking about with the disciples were slow to understand. You see, there are two types of hardened hearts. One like the Pharisees that refuse to believe no matter what evidence is in front of them. The other is a hardened heart is one who is yet to believe, who's trying to understand who God is. The disciples in this moment were slow to comprehend what Jesus had been teaching them the entire time. And I know sometimes it takes a while for us to get to the point that we understand what God is doing in our lives and what he's calling us to. Sometimes we can be hard-hearted as well. Some of you here this morning, because you feel this calling in your life and you've got this yearning for this relationship with the Creator and you're trying to figure out who this God is, yet you don't understand why God is calling you in this moment. You don't understand how God can love you through all the things that you've done. You're sitting here and you're thinking of worldly things like the disciples did in this passage. All those things that you're scared you may lose if you say yes to Jesus. All the things that you're scared would change if you said yes to Jesus. And you're worried that you'll never live up to the standards in which God has given. You look back on your life and all the things that you've done. You've lied, you've cheated, you've stolen. You've broken all the Ten Commandments. And all the things this world tells us that says we're not good enough for Jesus. And if we're going to be honest, we all fall into those categories. There is not one here who hasn't done all of those things at some point in their life. Because the church is made up of a bunch of imperfect people trying to serve a perfect God, aren't we? None of us are perfect. But I want to remind you, Ephesians 6:12 tells us, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of the darkness, against evil spiritual forces in the heavens. You know, the world will tell you that you're not worthy of Jesus. Religion will tell you that you're not good enough to go to him. But I want you to know this morning that Jesus says that you're worthy to the point that he was willing to go to the cross and die for you. That he was willing to take on your sin onto him and to pay that penalty for you. He was willing to die for your sins. You know, the world says that you're not worth it. Jesus says you're worth it. The world says that you're not lovable. Jesus says he loves you. The world says you have no purpose. Jesus says, I gave you a purpose. And the world says you're a mistake. And Jesus said, I knew you before you were created in your mother's womb and that you were made in my image. Did you guys know that? Jesus says in the scriptures that we were made in his image. Of all of creation, God made man in his image. He loved us that much. And he made no mistake when he made any one of us. And anybody else in the world, he made no mistake when he made them. You see, it doesn't matter what the world says about you. It doesn't matter how much the world loves you or hates you. It doesn't matter how popular or unpopular you are in the world. What matters is what Jesus thinks of you and the way Jesus looks at you. And he says he loves you and he cherishes you and he has a plan for your life. That if you come to him, he has those things ready and going for you. But it's your job to choose on whether you want it or not. He will not force you. And even if you say no, he still loves you. He just will not force you. And when we find ourselves in those moments, when we're doubting these promises of God, and we find ourselves focusing on things of this world and not understanding what God is asking of us, we need to remember what Jesus told the disciples to do in verse 19 and 20. It says, when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of leftovers did you collect? 12, they told him. When I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many baskets full of pieces did you collect? 7, they said. What Jesus was doing inside of this moment was reminding the disciples of the ways that he's provided for them in the past. He was asking them to look back on how he fed the 5,000 and the 4,000, to take their eyes off things of this world and to look to him. And he wants us to do the same. Don't look to religion. Don't look to the world. All of these things can become deceitful. But what he wants instead is for us to look to him, to go in relationship with him, to allow the Holy Spirit to be the thing that rules inside of our lives, remembering all the times that God has provided for us, how God has taken care of us even before we knew him, all the times that he's protected you and watched out for you before you ever had a relationship with you. To look back on his love, grace, and mercy that he has shown your life, even when you know we didn't deserve it. When we keep our focus on Jesus, no matter what the world says, we can remember his promises. So when the world is sharing disinformation, telling you you're not worthy, you're not loved, that there's no purpose for you, we can hold on to the truth of what Jesus says about us so that we can answer the question when Jesus says in verse 21, don't you understand yet? Do you understand this morning? Do you understand that Jesus is calling you into relationship with him? That he doesn't want just a little bit of your life. He wants all of it. He wants you to walk with him. He's calling you to repent and turn from your old way of life and come into relationship with him. It's not about religion. It's not about politics. It's not about anything the world says. It's about Jesus. And he's calling each of us into relationship with him this morning. I want you to know he cherishes you. He loves you. And those struggles in life that you're facing, those hardships that you have in life, you can give them all to him and he will give you rest unlike anything you've ever experienced before. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your love. Father, we thank you for your son, Jesus, and what he did up on that cross for each one of us. Lord, I ask that this morning that we may not forget that message, that it doesn't matter what the world says about us, doesn't matter what the world throws at us, that you're right here with us, that you love us and cherish us, and that you want a relationship with us. It's not about being good enough. It's about your son, Jesus, and allowing him to transform us from the inside out. Lord, we know that we all have mistakes. We all have things that we hold on to. We all have sin in our lives. None of us are perfect. And Lord, we hand that to you this morning.
Let's stand.
The King of love had given up his life.
back from God. May it search your hearts and your mind on what you're believing that the world is saying about you. And may you turn it over to Jesus and remember what he says and what he thinks about you. God bless. Have a great week.
Thank you for joining us today for Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.